The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia!
For centuries, the faithful have used this greeting and response for celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. It's not, however, a greeting which was used on the first Easter day. The initial part is there, at least the essence of it, in the words of the angels. He is not here, but has risen. Yet the response they received is definitely not, "He is risen indeed." If there was an audible response that morning, it probably went something like, "Huh?" Or perhaps the response of the women was silent, simply a blank stare. The women had come to the tomb in order to do what the arrival of the Sabbath had prevented them from accomplishing Friday evening. In a final act of devotion to their beloved teacher, they now brought aromatic spices to layer in the linen cloth which Joseph and Nicodemus had wrapped around his body. On their arrival at the tomb on that Sunday morning, however, nothing was as they expected. To start with, the disc-shaped stone which had covered the tomb's entrance had been rolled aside. They moved forward to look inside, and they found nothing. They had been watching late Friday afternoon. They saw how his body was laid. But now, when they went into the tomb, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. The tomb was empty. They found nothing inside and were, Luke writes, perplexed. The women were confused and bewildered. They didn't know what to make of what they saw. Perhaps I should say what they didn't see. It's not at all what they expected. They had made preparations to anoint Jesus' body, had brought everything that they would need, but now they were at a loss. Other challenges, the heavy stone, for instance, they had anticipated. But how do you prepare a body that isn't there? While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. At this appearance of angels, the perplexed women became also frightened, as seems to be the case any time an angel appears to mortals. We know what usually happens then, right? The angel begins, "Don't be afraid." But not here. Here the angels get right to the point. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. It isn't clear what effect, if any, these words had on the women. They weren't seeking the living. They were there looking for a dead body. And they had already determined that it wasn't there. That wasn't news for them. But he has risen? That didn't make any sense. The angels continued, however, saying something very important. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and on the third day rise. Remember, the angel said. And as they spoke, the women remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of these things to the 11 and to all the rest. When they came to the tomb looking for Jesus' body, they found nothing and were perplexed. They didn't know what to think. Then the angels appeared and they were afraid. But when the angels reminded them of Jesus' words, then they were no longer afraid, were no longer perplexed. Then they knew what to think. He is risen indeed. Remembering what Jesus said is what made the difference. What they had seen at the tomb, what they had found was unintelligible to them. They couldn't understand it, couldn't figure out what it all meant. It didn't bring faith. But Jesus' words did. When they were reminded he had said these things must happen, when they remembered that he had told them that he would be put to death and on the third day rise, then what they had seen and heard that morning made sense. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remembering his words, faith appeared. Faith responded, yes, he is risen indeed, just as he said. Now they understood the nothing they had found. Now the nothing they had seen supported faith. Now the nothing was good news to share. Remembering what Jesus had told them gave all of it meaning. Remembering what Jesus had told them made all the difference. The same is true in your life and in mine. Like the women that Easter morning, we all make preparations, focus our effort and energies to accomplish certain goals. And we find that things often don't work out as we had planned. Sometimes we're able to accomplish everything we proposed, but when that all-consuming task is finished, we sometimes have an empty feeling, a lack of fulfillment. Is this all there is, we ask ourselves? What do we do now? Where do we go from here? Other times our hopes and plans for business, for family, in relationships, hits one detour after another. Until sooner or later we find ourselves in an alley that ends with a brick wall. There's no place left to turn, nothing left that we can do. We end up at a dead stop. Or perhaps our plans are dashed when a loved one dies. Our fondest hopes and dreams for the future vanish in a puff of smoke. We can't make any sense of it. It's as if everything has come to nothing. The only thing left is meaningless emptiness. But then through some messenger from God, we are reminded that this is not the end. That there is more to life than the things we can see and hear and feel. What Paul says is indeed true. If only in this life we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He has promised us, "Behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. We are not alone." He assures us, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." He has things in mind for you and for me that far exceed our earthly dreams. He comforts us, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He promises, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die forever." These guarantees of Christ lift us up, restoring hope and faith, and not only for the future in heaven. St. Paul put it this way, "Christ said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" So Paul responds, "For the sake of Christ then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Thus Paul's assurances concerning the future give us peace and confidence even in the here and now. That's why Paul could write, "I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Remember what Jesus tells us, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." The challenges and trials we face should not call his assurances into question. Along with Paul, we can know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. The answer to Paul's question is clear. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." Nevertheless, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And remember, it's not just that your risen Savior has the power necessary to keep his promises. As we read in Hebrews concerning Jesus, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you remember that your Savior understands your weaknesses and needs from his own personal experience, you can be content in life, no matter what it is that confronts you, because he has promised, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." You can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" When the women heard Jesus' word which the angels had spoken to them, and remembered what Jesus had said. Their perplexity and fear faded away and were replaced by hope and confidence. Jesus' resurrection from the dead assures us that we too can trust his promises. Could there be any more difficult promise for him to keep than that he would rise from the dead? Remember what Jesus has said. Let his words be on your heart. Teach them diligently to your family. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. Then, when the storms of life approach, when difficulties arise and questions challenge, even the subtlest of reminders will be enough. His words will come to mind, and his promises will restore and strengthen you in faith. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Let us go forth in peace in the name of the Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.